Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. I have my good friend Rossi with me. We're back over here. We're going to be talking about the movie Superbad. This movie came out in 2007. Also, I have a good friend over here, Kim, and we're going to be talking about Superbad as well. So go ahead, grab your fake ID badges. Go on ahead and grab your alcohol beverage of choice, because you're not supposed to have it because you're supposed to be underage. But it's okay. We allow this here at Movie Love Tonight and stuff like that. So go ahead, get your McLovin on, and let's do this.
What's up, John?
Hey, nothing much. How you doing, Rossi?
I'm good. Everyone, welcome Kim. Kim is a good friend. She's also a spoken word poet, and she loves Superbad, so I thought it'd be fun for her to join us tonight. So you guys, welcome Kim.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Welcome, Kim. I appreciate you coming over here to talk about Superbad. This is hands down one of my favorite movies to watch, and my wife just looks at me like I'm crazy because she goes, you wanted that? I'm like, yeah. And I'm over there laughing my ass off on some of the scenes that's in this movie, and she's right. Just like, I'm like, it's okay. It'll be okay.
I know. I was watching it today, and remember, I had issues right. Because I couldn't freaking find it because I thought HBO had it. Then I thought Showtime had it, and then I went to the Cinemax, and so I'm bummed out, and I don't want to pay for it on YouTube, so that's when I was like, John, I don't know what we're going to do. And then finally Clint found it on Cinema. Did you look up that app, Cinema?
No, I haven't. But here's the thing, okay? I found it streaming on Peacock.
Okay.
And that's where I watched it at first. Then Peacock decides, we had this out since March, so we're going to go on ahead and remove it. Then I was like, well, what do I do? Then one of my friends says, I know a guy. And he goes... So he ends up telling me to download the Plex app.
Okay.
I download the Plex app, and I was able to get on his account. He shared his account with me to where I can actually watch Superbad. And by the way, guys, you guys voted for this movie, so yes, this is why we're here tonight. So yes. And by the way, we are doing one for Twitter. Twitter winded up doing Pulp Fiction, so Pulp Fiction won for that. So we're going to be doing that soon.
Nice.
So my question for you guys is this, okay? So when was like the first time that you guys seen Superbad?
Kim, you go first.
I don't know. Probably like 3 years after it came out, I would think. Okay. And when Seth Rogen started doing like other movies, I was like kind of curious. And then I think I was checking that one out. Because I definitely, after like Pineapple Express, I was like, wanted to see everything Seth Rogen did.
Right.
It's amazing. I love this movie. We actually had it on DVD.
Oh, another DVD? Oh my gosh, John.
And it came with the soundtrack, and it also had the McLovin fake ID. My sister caught it for me.
Yeah, Joe ended up having it, my fiance, so I was like, sweet, we don't have to pay for it.
Well, I had to search for it today, and I end up finding it, and I watched it with Clint. So I was like, do you mind watching Superbad? He's like, I love that movie. So we sat, and I forgot how funny it was. So the first time I saw it was, it was a little bit right after it came out, because obviously I had boys that were, in high school at that time or middle school, and they wanted to see it. So we ended up, I think we rented it. And it was just so funny. Absolutely loved the film, fell in love with the characters, so... Watching it today, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how funny it was.
And for me, the very first time I seen it was with my friend Brandon. And I was working housekeeping, and we were on break. And at that time, and so anyways, He's like, hey, and at that time it was like on the internet where this is like way before binging, before Netflix was actually a big thing,
right?
Where you can actually go to ch131.com and watch movies. So he goes, what the hell is Superbad? I don't know. Let's watch Superbad. And then him and I are both just cracking up laughing, watching this thing. And of course, I'm watching this in between doing my runs and stuff like that and things like that. So I'm not sitting there for the whole entire time watching this movie, but I'm in and out. And I'm just cracking up every single time I'm watching it.
Absolutely.
This movie still makes me laugh. It makes me think of my high school days, me breaking my my friend's balls all the time. Just us smack talking each other and acting like we know what we're talking about, even though we don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
And stuff. It's just hilarious.
Yes. Yes. John, why don't you tell them, for those who don't know Superbad or if you haven't seen it, John, why don't you give them like the storyline of like just a little bit of, let them know where we're at with this film.
So basically, the synopsis goes like this. Two codependent high school seniors are forced to deal with separation anxiety after their plan to stage a booze-soaked party goes awry. So that's just a simplistic plot line of what we're in for. But here's the thing. I love this movie. My nostalgia is probably... Yeah. I'm not going to go into my nostalgia rating yet, but... You know, I'm just through the moons, just love
right. it. So, like, the film starred Jonah Hill, who played Seth, and then you have Michael Cera, who we all love from Arrested Development, who actually plays that same character, that sarcastic kind of teen. I love him. He plays Evan. Fogel is played by Christopher Mintz, who's also, of course, McLovin. And then you have Bill Hader. He played Officer Slater. And then Seth Rogen, of course, played Officer Michaels. And then there's a lot of other young celebrities that are in there that are really big today, like Emma Stone, for instance, you know. And I think that's the first time that I've ever was introduced to Jonathan Hill, Jonah Hill, I'm sorry, who ended up being a really good actor.
You see, the first time I've seen Jonah was in the 40-year-old version.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I forgot about that. All right.
I don't know if you remember his character, but he was just the guy who went into the eBay store and he wanted to buy boots. And the woman goes, you can't buy, I can't sell you that. Why? I'm in the store. I have money.
Yeah.
So that was like my first introduction into him, his character.
But what did you think about like the opening scene, Kim?
I mean, hold on. Can I just say one thing about the...
Yeah, of course.
Seth Rogen and his childhood friend Evan Goldberg are the ones that wrote it, and they've written a lot of things together, but in an interview they said that it was actually about their childhood.
Really?
So based off of and Seth actually was gonna, he wanted to play his own part, but then they decided he was like way too old, so they ended up making him the cop, which I don't like, maybe not everyone's opinion, but I kind of think he's hot in the uniform, like the younger.
Really?
I'm like probably the only one. I'm like, I'm okay with the handlebars.
Yeah. Never. Really? I think he's super funny. I love Seth Rogen, but the film with the three guys, I mean, it was like at that time, I remember that was a throwback to some of the 80s, you know, teen films, you know, that we had. We just did the Breakfast Club. So at that time, for them to have that movie, remember, guys, it was really big when it came out. Like, it was like a really, other than the Mean Girls that I think came out a long time before that, this was a really cool teenage movie for the times. And I thought they did a great job. I loved the characters and just the opening scene with them dancing, the soundtrack.
Right.
Paying an homage to
yes.
like Dazed and Confused when yes, they are yeah. at the house party and that right. song comes on from Dazed and Confused. I'm like, okay, you know, I definitely think they were paying like an homage to that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Just a little thing though too. Mean Girls came out in 2004, so this was like 3 years after. So yeah, it's right in that in between.
Yep.
And everything too. But you know, just the opening scene alone where you actually have these characters. Okay. Nostalgia rating goes. What about your? I want to go with nostalgia first.
Okay.
Sure. What's y'all's nostalgia rating?
My nostalgia rating is a 5 on this one.
Okay.
like as far as reminding me of my childhood or reminding me of older movies?
Just you having a good time with it and just enjoying it.
For sure. I love this movie. Yeah, it's, I actually, he kind of reminds, Evan kind of reminds me of me as a younger, and the real Evan is also a Virgo. I know that's like, I definitely felt like that was me as a kid.
Okay.
I'm going to go a 7.8 out of 10 on this because of the fact that it still makes me laugh. It still makes me crack up laughing.
Right.
I have a good time with it. It's just one of those movies that I can just throw on and just have a good time. There's Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and then there's this one that I can crack up and just laugh and enjoy.
Right.
So, with that being said, let's go on ahead and get on with the review. Okay. So welcome everyone to the podcast where we talk about all things Superbad. I'm your host, John, and with me is the Jonah Hill to my Michael Sarah and Frogel to my McLovin. Rossi?
What's up, guys? What's up?
So that's right. So grab your fake ID, strap on your best dance moves, and let's get this podcast started. So it opens up with Seth and Evan, our two high school seniors who lament their virginity and poor social standing. Best friends since childhood, the two are about to go off on different colleges. As Seth did not get accepted into Dartmouth like Evan, after Seth is paired with Jules during home ec class, she invites him to a party at her house. Later that night, their friend Frogel comes up to two and reveals his plans to obtain fake IDs during lunch. But before that, the opening scene where you actually see like this James Brown kind of beat going on with the introduction.
Yes.
And then finally you get Seth who's talking to his friend, and he tells him, "Hey, what about this? What about porn? What do you think?" He goes, "Look."
That's right.
And he's just talking about porn the whole time. He goes, "Well, wouldn't your parents even know that you're even watching the porn or anything? And that everybody is, those titles are all the same. I'm just saying that I want some real shit."
Right. I mean, it's just like guys, you know, you guys around that age, I mean, you know, in high school, especially that crew who's probably not, they're not getting it. You know what I mean? They're not hooking up with girls. They're not getting that. It's the last, they're seniors, so they're getting ready to leave and split. So it's like, you know, the party of the year, and the goal is to, for each of them to find that girl that they both want. I just find it funny that McLovin, out of all of them, end up being the one that did it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Seth is so mean to him too. He just hates him. Just out of jealousy, you think? He just
because I mean they're separating.
Yeah.
And they're separating, you know, that last year of school, and then you realize that they have some issues because of the fact that, you know, Seth wasn't accepted to the same college or that college. And what's his name? I'm sorry, guys. Help me out here.
Frogel?
Frogel and
Evan. Yeah.
Evan. Thank you. Oh, yeah. They're going off together, going to be roommates together. So throughout the film, you do see, you know, that Seth is kind of, you know, pissy about that.
But I'm wondering too, like, Seth is just holding that off like a defense mechanism of the fact that he's going to lose his friend.
Right.
And so therefore the only way to actually cope with it is just to be a jerk off to him.
Right.
So I'm thinking that's just like a way of actually trying to basically trying to block off anything.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, he's also sabotaging his own friendship and everything too. But also too, Evan is like really awkward and shy too. And I like how awkward he is because he reminds me of myself in high school.
Yeah.
And I like Seth goes, "Man, I'm so jealous that you got to suck on your mom's tits as well as you got to suck on your dad's dick."
That's right.
They came back on him so good on that one.
The back and forth.
So many good one-liners. Sorry.
Wait, no, go ahead, Kim. Go ahead.
No, I just, they have the one at the end when they're, I know we're not at the end yet, but when they're talking about the tight pants that he's wearing.
Oh,
they call it a you know, instead of a camel toe, it's a camel tail. And I haven't heard that ever since. But why isn't that going viral? I feel like people should say it more.
Maybe after this podcast, they will.
Right? Yeah, bring it back. Bring back camel tail.
Then he's like the division sign.
I love when they're getting ready to, like, they realize that they have to get the alcohol. And when Seth goes into the store and he's imagining, like, at first you really think that, you know, that the cashier is like, yeah, sure, you can have this alcohol. Sure, you're that age. And he gives him an $80 bill and he takes the $80 bill and then it cuts back and it's not really happening. And then you think that when he's talking to the older lady that drops her purse, at that point you think, oh, okay, so she is going to buy the alcohol for him. And then you realize that's not happening. He ends up leaving a store without anything, but them trying to get alcohol is absolutely
hilarious.
It's hilarious. But then McLovin, you know, when you first see his ID, I mean, come on.
He's like, yeah, who the fuck names their salesman McLovin? Because, well, it was that or Muhammad. Why the fuck would you name yourself Muhammad?
He's like, it's like saying your seal.
Are you fucking seal?
It's just like Madonna, you know? It's just one name. Right.
And they're like, oh, Evan's over there. Like, well, it could be fine. It might be fine. It could work.
In Hawaii. He's from Hawaii. McLovin, Hawaii.
McLovin, this nice guy from Hawaii, who's an organ donor.
Who's an organ donor, that's right.
Oh, man.
And then there's other thing, too, like with the old little lady that you were talking about, Rossi.
Yeah.
He goes, well, good luck fucking Jules. He goes,
oh, that's right. Or him getting hit by the car.
Yeah.
Twice.
That's right, he did get hit by the car twice. The first time when they just knocked them down and you meet your first character, the crazy guy that's like freaking out, and I'm thinking, ask him to buy you guys some alcohol, just have him give you guys, just don't even give you the money, just ask him to buy you guys alcohol, and then to see that that's your first adventure.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
because in that case, and if you think about it, and I'm going to bounce off of what Kim said, this does have a little bit of a flavor of having you and I reviewed that, and Don reviewed that movie. We were talking about, you know, the one that happens in the '70s.
The one that Days you brought up, Kim. Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Dazed and Confused. It has that Dazed and Confused vibe.
Yes.
All he had to do was say, "Hey, look, man, since you ran me over,
I don't think they had any money left."
No,
because I think Fogel had their money in the store with the police,
and then the guy's gonna give them money. Right, but the guy that hits Seth when he has the wallet, it looks like he has, I was thinking, like, just tell him to buy you guys the alcohol, but then he opens up his wallet, and it looks like it's packed full of money. Like, it looks like it has a lot of money. It's like $7.
He goes, man, I feel so young. I've never been carded in a long time. I used to feel young again.
And, dude, what about the house party with the stained blood on his pants from the girl?
Oh yeah,
it's for low.
He goes, hey, why would I have blood on my fucking pants? Why would I have blood?
Yeah, it took him forever.
Or when the boyfriend comes up and he's like, we're blood brothers.
That's right. How they beat the hell out of the first guy when Seth and Evan are standing there and they're watching the guy that brought them to the party so they can get alcohol. And the dude goes in there and, you know, the head of the party's like, you know, leave, get out. And so he throws him outside of the house, but they beat the hell out of that guy. But the cutback scene to the way that Evan and Seth were like looking at him get his ass whooped. And the dude's trying to, like, you know, let's be friends. Like, you know, let's just get along. But I love that whole house party scene.
Me too.
Yeah.
Also, like how Fogel just walks into, I like how everybody walks into each other's classes. Like, it's no big deal. And that's how we did things in my high school, though, too.
Us too.
And I like how Fogel goes, gangsters, what's up? What?
What about the nasty kid that spit on him?
Oh, yeah. That dude was
disgusting. Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
Jordan, bring that up.
or Dave Franco on the field because he's like the Greg, the guy that pissed on himself or whatever.
Yeah, because people never forget.
Is that
right? People never forget.
Hell no. Is it?
What?
Dave Franco, is that his first like scene in a movie? I don't know. I should have looked it up, but
I don't know.
You know the part where they're like outside and Fogel like just got off work and he's wearing the vest?
He looks like Aladdin.
What else did they call him? They called him
Pinocchio.
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 He did look like Pinocchio too, didn't he?
The fact is that was them dressed up to go to the party.
They look like they're dressed up like senior citizens than they do teenagers going to a party.
Absolutely.
Well, he's wearing his dad's clothes too, right?
Yeah, something.
Why did he wear clothes from school, I wonder. Because he got spit on.
Right, but also too, Seth also said this, no one wears fucking camo and gets laid unless the last person that did that was when they were in Vietnam.
So. And now we all wear camo. Like everyone wears camo.
Everyone.
And everyone's into the cargos. He's like, no one's weight in cargos.
Right. Right.
The other thing that I find was funny, the home ec class, just, and he's cussing in class. He goes, no offense. I'm not even going to know what the fuck to do or anything later on in the future. I don't even know why I'm thinking this. Like, sorry, I'm cussing.
Right.
Look, I have no partner. I have nobody in here. Look at Evan. He's having a time of his life over there. Me, I'm over here like a single mother and everything. Just Jules doesn't have a partner. Oh, Jules? Okay.
You know this class sucks, right?
Can we talk about the cops, though?
Yeah.
How great were they? How hilarious were they when they showed up on the scene? I actually thought, I'm like, are they fake cops? You know, are they security cops? No, they're
growing businesses and finance professionals. You need Bill Spend and Expense, the free to use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy corporate card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
They're cops. And I just thought, you know, Seth Rogen playing that character and then Bill Hader playing the other cop. They were perfect together and they were just absolutely hilarious in how they hooked up with McLovin. Coming up now, you know, knowing later on in a movie that they absolutely knew it was a fake ID, they absolutely knew. But the whole time that he hooks up with them, and then you see McLovin's night.
Yeah.
He had a hell of a night.
I love it. Yeah.
He had a hell of a night. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, they were the worst cops ever.
Man.
Especially when...
You bring it up. I think we're going to say the same thing. You said first, though.
Okay, is it okay? Okay.
Go do it.
Okay, the convenient clerk and everything. Just look, the guy is white, like you. Like, so he was caught. So he's a cop. No. He's Jewish. No. He's like Eminem. And next thing you know, he draws a picture of it, like he goes like this. He goes, no. So he was black. No. He's always an African Jew.
She said no.
Like Marshall Mathers, the rapper, Eminem.
Right.
She cracks me up too, Mindy the clerk.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's so funny. She's like, I got a vet test tomorrow.
That's right. I was gonna bring up when they're on this, I think it was on when they're the cops are on this. Oh yeah, they're talking to McLovin, they're on the side of the road, they're drinking beers. And then they hear sirens and they're like, oh shit, cops are coming. And then they go and jump in. I thought that was so funny because, like, you are the cops. But I love that. And then the homeless guy that they knocked out or fell and bumped his head in the restaurant. And they thought McLovin did it. It seemed like it was cooler.
That was so bad. They, like, were the worst cops. That's what
absolutely.
They were horrible because they absolutely. Couldn't, like, arrest him. They were, like, scared of this bomb.
Well, not only that, but they also put him in the back of the police car.
Right.
As well.
Yes. Yeah. He was knocked out, and McLovin having cigarettes and just, like that dope kid. And also when, you know, he got hit again, Seth got hit again, McLovin didn't have his glasses on or the windshield was broken. So I'm wondering, does he know that's his friends? Is he going to see that's his friends? Is he going to get out of the car? And then when he gets out of the car, the way they look at him, because remember, he gets out of the car with a cigarette and, you know what I mean? Just that look like, Vogel?
What the
fuck? Yeah. And then you're like not expecting it, but like Evan's like the first one to run, which you would think he'd be like the last one to run, but he's just, and he just books it. Just
that was great. That was great. The way he just took off was hilarious.
Yeah, I love that scene.
I love how socially awkward they are, though. Like, Fogel and Evan are both equally, so that's I could see why he would want him as like a roommate, because they both are like they're the two peas in a pod, basically, because they're both socially awkward, especially whenever he's watching when basically you have Fogel looking at the girl who at her ass and everything, and there's a piece of her thong hanging out. He's over there like, and then he goes, and she looks behind him and goes, it's 10 o'clock.
They finally get the alcohol and they get on the bus and they have the bags of alcohol and the gold slugger that the girl that Evan likes really wants. And when you see that he drops it or that it's flying across the bus, and you're hoping, please let someone catch it. Please let someone catch it, you know, because you're rooting for this kid, you know, like you want this kid to get the alcohol. You want this kid to be able to go and impress this girl. You want that. And I remember Clint and I are sitting there looking and we're like, we haven't seen it in years. It's gone. It's gone. And I felt so bad for him. Like, how is he going to recover?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's an interview where he talks about, because they say 13th and Granville on that bus, like that's where they're going. And that was like Seth Rogen and his friend Evan Goldberg's like favorite place. It was like an all-you-can-eat sushi place in Vancouver. And anyways, but that, so that's like an homage to like their favorite place to go is when they were kids, which I thought was interesting. It was like
Absolutely. Anyways.
But yeah, I was sad too when he dropped the gold slug.
I also like the other thing though too, you know, where basically you have Clint. What's up, y'all?
What's up, Clint?
But there's also this other scene that I crack up laughing at though too. Is where I know that we were at the party scene and stuff like that, but there's also that one part of the soccer field too where basically Evan is just standing there and he goes, move Evan. He goes, it's fucking soccer. No one fucking cares.
Right. Get off the field.
But I also want to jump back into the party scene too.
Okay.
But the other thing too is they actually have the Tide filled with alcohol.
That's right.
That can't be healthy.
I was wondering about, I'm like, is that gasoline? I forgot that it was the Tide because I missed that part.
Yeah, they poured it out. They poured out the Tide and put in the, even though they rinsed it out and everything, and then they put the alcohol in it. But they ended up having that in there, and they run and get away from the cops with the Tide. And then they go, well, of course, that I like how they're telling the story to Jules and everything else. Yeah. Seth is over there telling her.
Yeah.
And they're legends. They're walking there like a boss.
That his mouth was blue?
Yeah.
That they like did his mouth blue?
No.
Like, he's talking to Jules or whatever, like later on. Like he's still drinking the Tide, like while he's like, and his mouth is like blue. I thought that was like a nice
time. Totally missed that. They,
like,
I missed it too.
Totally missed that. Thank you, Kim. Totally missed that.
I wonder if that's why people were trying to do Tide Pods. I don't know, but...
Maybe they encouraged them.
Maybe.
That can't be good.
No,
you know what's messed up, though, is the fact that they get to the party, and Seth, the whole time, he's, you know, by this time, they're all wasted, and he goes and he finds the girl that he likes, Jules. Is it Jules that Seth is into?
Yeah.
And to find out that whole time that she doesn't drink.
And he's tore up.
Yeah, he's thinking they're going to go. They're going to get lit together. Like, she's going. They're going to basically, he's going to get lucky with her because she's drunk. And then finds that out. And I felt so bad for him because it's like, through everything he went through, come to find out, she doesn't even drink.
You know what's interesting about that, though, is they both kind of picked girls like each other. Like, and they're best friends. So they would pick, like, a girl to that's kind of like each other, if that makes any sense. Like, one's kind of wild, just like Seth, and the other one's kind of, like,
quiet and
sweeter, kind of like Evan. And I just thought it was interesting that, of course, they would pick girls kind of like each other. I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know.
I think so, too, because just because you're in with that crowd doesn't mean that you're going to drink or anything.
Right.
You have your own personality and you're not going to drink with them or stuff like that. And they're like, okay, cool. You're not going to drink. You're not going to drink. So, you know, I think it's the fact that she's throwing the party and Seth is thinking, okay, well, since she's throwing the party, I'm going to go ahead and get lit up and everything, especially when she calls him in the car. And I like how the guy who's giving him the ride to the other party, he goes, oh, what does she say? She wants my body. She wants me. She wants it inside of her. Not exactly like that, but, you know, she did say that.
That's right. What about poor Evan, who finally he's in the bedroom with the girl that he likes and she's just gone.
Shit fit.
And how uneasy and he's such a nice guy. He's such a sweet guy because I love the fact that he's like, no, you're drinking. Like, I don't want to do that. And she's basically like, let's do it. Let me do this. Let me do that. Then she throws up. I felt so bad for him because he's a really decent kid. But he really likes her, and he couldn't, because if Seth was there, it was happening.
Yeah.
But it was happening. It was absolutely happening. So I felt kind of uncomfortable with him as well during that.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think, and Jules did the same thing. You know, she's like, let's talk about this when you haven't had as much to drink.
Yeah.
Of course, then she gets hit in the face.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he gets hit by her on an accident. He goes, I'm sorry.
So messed up.
And then Vogel is finally gonna get laid. He's the only one out of the two that is about to get laid because I got it in. Next thing you know,
That's right.
Of Seth Rogen
and
that.
Did he get it in? I don't know.
He found a hole. I'm happy for him, you know. But but to him, he got some, you know. And then all of a sudden, here comes Seth Rogen and them showing up.
Right.
He goes, get your ass on the ground, McLovin.
That's right.
Wait, that was the girl? Yeah. I was about to get it on with her and everything, and you fucking ruined it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he goes, look. And after she leaves, they break it down to him, and I like that scene. He goes, you kind of remind me of us. So that's why we know you're underage.
Right.
You're not 25 years old. You're not from Hawaii.
Right. Not from Hawaii.
He goes, I'm not. You don't believe me. But I definitely like that.
And she comes back in and like grabs her clothes and they're all hugging.
Yes. And then they take McLuggan, since they know, you know, who he is, the final scene with him hanging out with him, because I remember Bill Hader's part, you know, that cop, that he was like, he really liked McLovin. He really took a liking to him. So when they leave again and they get into the shenanigans that they get into, absolutely hilarious. The donuts and the parking.
Right.
In the freaking grocery store parking lot.
That was hilarious. And then.
Yes, it was.
There's also this other thing, though, too. Like, when McLovin goes, well, since you ruined this for me, there's something I need you to do. So next thing you know, they handcuff him. He goes, I'm fucking crazy. Right. I'm going to kick your ass. He goes, easy, McLovin. One more outburst out of you, we're going to end up putting you behind bars for the rest of the night.
Right. No, that was a great scene. And also the spitter who spit on the cop. Yeah. He got his as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
It was a good movie.
I love this movie. It's hands down one of my favorite movies. Also, too, that the whole entire I like how we were talking about this earlier, Kim, like before we started, was the whole dick picture, him drawing dicks at the
beginning.
Yes. That was hilarious. That was great. That every picture was dick picked. And I thought that was just so, it was funny. It was Seth Rogen. Absolutely.
And he's like, well, what do you have against her? Because, well, here I am, just under this whole entire dick operation. All I can imagine is him in, like, in a bunker drawing dick pictures. And he's trying to keep it secretive. And he goes, here I am, just drawing this. And all of a sudden, I just slapped her with my... Oh, and then I like how Evans just awkwardly says, slap her with your dick. Yeah.
But some of those drawings were kind of amazing. Like,
yeah. They really were.
But like, is he a good artist? Like,
they really were working.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is like the ending of it when they're in the mall. Everything's done now, and you also don't know if. And I like how it ends. It ends on this whole entire thing of they both get the girls that they want,
right?
And they're going their own separate ways.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like them saying, you know, we had this one night together.
Yeah.
And even though we're going to be separated from college, we're still going to be friends.
Right.
And that's how life is, you know?
Well, and they're still friends today, still making movies together.
Right.
So obviously they still were friends, which I love. You know, they just made Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So
Right. Yeah, I love that scene too. Seeing the girls and the awkwardness of, oh gosh, we all embarrassed ourselves the night before and, you know, walking up to each other, and then, like you said, them coupling off, and then Seth and Evan just kind of looking at each other, like, you know, the way they say goodbye to each other, like you said, that acknowledgement of, this is it, you know, that was our final night, this is it, and now adulthood happens, we go to college. So I love the way that that happened. They each got their girl, and I was happy that Seth got his girl, because he really liked her, and I was hoping that, you know, that would happen. So it was good.
Yeah.
I definitely liked it. This movie will always be something that I can just laugh at, just have something on just to have a good time, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it still holds, well, I wouldn't say it holds up to certain standards because of how film is today, but it definitely is still reminds me of myself in high school and stuff like that. Acting like we know what we're talking about when we don't know what we're talking about. And, you know, just goofing off with our friends, and especially whenever they're trying to sneak into the club, because we got in.
Oh, that's right, and they got kicked right out. That's right. They got in and got right out. Yes, yes. Can't wait for adulthood. Basically, you know, can't wait to be grown up.
But I would like to see. I wanted to see a sequel to Superbad, just for them being in college and them going back. But I think it would be more fun just them going into like a high school reunion. And
that would be good.
Yeah,
that'd absolutely be good. What do you think about if they did like a total remake, a reboot? Would you want to see a reboot of this?
I mean, I kind of like the idea of still having the same characters. Right. I mean, Michael Cera is still doing amazing things. Like he just did Life and Beth with Amy Schumer. I don't know if anyone's seen it, but it is so good and so funny. He cracks me up. But like, and then Jonah Hill, I'm sure he would do it too. I think the same characters. I think bring them back in. Let's see what they're doing now. Like
that would be great. Like you said,
maybe even their kids could be like friends and like getting into trouble or something like that.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
I do have a fan theory though.
Okay.
I think that Vogel is the same person from Role Models. He just flunked out of college. Okay. He doesn't have any friends. So they get Paul Rudd, and they also have Sean William Scott to come in to be role models for him.
Right.
And he's into LARPing. So Seth is no longer there, so he doesn't have any friends. So therefore, that's just like a little fun fan theory that I have, but even though it's not in continuity. But
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely had fun with it. So... where do you guys land on as far as your rating after this? Like, well,
on a scale from one, like, let's see, 1 through 10, I would give it a 9. I mean, I'm not one that, you know, would go back and watch an older film unless we're reviewing it. And I didn't know if I liked it. And I remember just easily, as soon as it came on, just the introduction with them dancing, you know, it was like, oh yeah, you get that feeling like, oh, that's right. This was great. And then it went by so fast. I mean, it's only like an hour and 40 or something minutes long, but it's in and out, but so much happens in a short period of time. It's not one of those films where it takes you a while. So they let you get to know the character, like, you know how this character is. It's just, it's right there. It happens fast. The parties happen fast, and it's done and over with. It was a good film. Seth Rogen did a good job. He and his what was the name of the Goldberg?
Evan Goldberg. Yeah,
Evan Goldberg. They did a great job with the script. Absolutely.
Yeah. What about for you though, Cam?
I think so too. I think it's well written. There's not like a bunch of plot holes. I hate when there's or plot holes. You know when like you're watching something and like it's like how did they get there?
Yeah.
So I love that they kind of finish everything. Don't leave us like wondering. Or I think they did it for what it is.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job. I mean,
and I think so too.
To do great things. So
good. Yeah. Good it's fan pipe. The fans did a good job at picking.
Yeah, I'm glad that they voted for this.
Thank you. Thank you. Make it easy for Rossi. Thank you.
I'm going to actually get them to vote for something else for next month, for the month of June. Okay. We will be doing Pulp Fiction. We are going to try and do that scene by scene and do the nostalgia thing too, because that deserves to be a little bit dived into. This was just a fun popcorn flick just to just to laugh our asses off.
Right.
But I'm going to have to go with like an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay, that's good
for it. But yeah, but that's gonna be it as far as this review goes. Rossi, what do you have coming up? I know that you're about to go live, so
yes. So after this, let's see. So guys, we're going to go live with Multiverse of Geekdom and Trust, and tonight it's our video game show. So we're going to do more gaming news. And we have a lot to bring you from Grand Theft Auto, what's going on with layoffs there. And there's also this new article. Did you read that article I sent you about the, it's called, it's Movie Star. It's
having like a safe place.
Yeah, like a safe place for young gamers to go and play online and not have to worry about the creepiness of being online. Anyways, I found that to be an awesome article. So we're going to discuss that as well. So, join us tonight. It's going to be at 7:30, guys. So we usually go live at 7. We're going to wait till 7:30, and the guys and I will be here to talk about that. Also, on Monday, May 20th, on Rossi's Clubhouse, if you guys go check out the other podcast I have Yums Awkward, and he's going to join me for my 20th episode, and it's titled Catching Up with Yums Awkward. So that's what's going on for me for the next upcoming week on Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Well, come and join me on Friday. I'm going to be interviewing two actresses. It was part of this little indie short film that I got the chance to check out. It's called Three Easy Steps. It's about a girl who has ADHD and stuff like that. So I'm going to be interviewing them on Friday at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Then Saturday, I'm going to be with Zoe from Backlook Cinema Podcast again. And we're going to be reviewing Days of Thunder. This is going to be a film from 1990 with Tom Cruise. And then that's going to be, of course, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And then on Sunday, Kip from Unfiltered Studios, who also has the Stupid History Minute, is going to be joining me for Bad Boys 1. So we're going to do a Bad Boys 1 review. I can't wait to dive into that and just talk to him about Bad Boys. So that's going to be 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And by the way, guys, get your hypno on with Hypno Wellness. Get your Pedals of Support with Pedals of Support on Unfiltered Studios. Also, do check out the Sleepy G show over there. Check out everybody else. They have a fantastic podcast. And thank you again so much, Kim, for joining us for the very first time. I hope that you come back on again because I enjoyed it.
Oh, yes. We'll have to bring Kim back. Yeah.
She has no choice. She has to come back.
You're locked in now. You're locked in. Friend of the channel. So Kim and I will actually come back and we'll do a review. I have a movie that I want to shoot by you and see if you want to review it with me. So I think that'd be fun for us to do, Kim.
Yeah, always.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you. And thank you, JoJo, for commenting. Thank you, Clint. Awesome. As always, you two are just awesome. Thank you so much for showing us love and support. And always, until next time, guys, have a great and safe day. And don't forget to go ahead and get your fake IDs and your alcohol.
Yes.
And that's going to be it for the show, guys.
Bye, guys.